Hello, everybody, and welcome to Under the Fig Tree podcast. I'm Bruce, and today I am flying solo. We said at the beginning of this season that we would do some individual podcasts just to mix it up a little bit, and so this is one of them. We've had one or two from Troy. We've also had a couple from his lovely wife, Tisha. And so I hope you enjoy this time that we're going to spend together. Today I want to talk about a subject that is near and dear to my heart, and let's just call this pursuing Jesus. And I want to start with something that I believe I got this from the Lord. It was just echoing in my heart one day, and I took the time to sit down and write it down, and I just want to read it to you. It says, "Some people hold on to life as if there is no eternity with him. A couple of ways to be like Jesus in the earth, and saints don't always tend to acknowledge this, is to be hated for saying something unpopular, to still be effective in the face of that hate, and to suffer an unjust death while living a life justified through Christ Jesus. No one's assessment of your life matters but his." And so I want to start there because I'm talking about pursuing Jesus today. And how I want to encourage all of you to make sure that you're going after Jesus, that it's not just this form or fashion of being a Christian or being saved or being born again, but making sure that every day you have in this earth that you are actually in pursuit of him. Because I can tell you, and I'm sure anyone who's walked with the Lord for any period of time can tell you, that there's more. That he's so much bigger, that he's so much greater, that you nor I have the fullness of the understanding, I'll say, of who Jesus actually is and what he's actually done for us. So I want to pursue that a little bit, and let's talk about it just for a little bit. And I think I want to start in Philippians 3. Let's start in Philippians 3. Let's start in verse 7. It says, "But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith." And this is one of my all-time favorite scriptures. I know I say that about every scripture, and it's true. Here it is, verse 10, "that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead." Wow, that is so power-packed, man. There's so much that's being said there by the writer. But I want to hang out in verse 10, "that I may know him and the power of his resurrection," listen, "and the fellowship of his sufferings." I know, saints, we don't want to believe, people of God, we don't want to focus on or have to acknowledge that with this life in Christ Jesus, there may be suffering. And I'm being really conservative because it doesn't even say may, it says that there will be. If you're going to walk this walk with Jesus Christ, there's going to be different levels of suffering. Now, I don't believe that God would give you more than what you can bear, but I do believe that we ought to consider that to be like Jesus, one of the many ways to be like Jesus, we want to be like him in kindness, we want to be like him in, I guess you could say, the fruit, or in working miracles, or in laying hands, or, you know, those things, maybe even in giving. All of those things are good, and all of those things are right, and all of those things, if done with the right heart, absolutely represent a part of Jesus. But one of the things we don't really care for, just from my perspective, for the time that I've been around and walking with the Lord, is this idea, and hey, let me make sure I say this too, it's not something that I'm looking for either. There's nobody that I know that wants to step into suffering, that wants to go through hard times, that wants to go through ridicule and maybe even worse. But we have to acknowledge that this is indeed a part of what it means to walk with God, and more specifically, what it means to pursue Him. Amen. And so I want to continue on because there's so much here in just Philippians 3 that I can talk about. So I stopped at verse 11, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. But let's go on a little bit. I want to pick up in verse 12 also. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Man, that is so awesome. So that I may lay hold of the one that has laid hold of me. Wow, man. I had to say yes to Jesus when he made himself real to me. But here's the truth of it. He came to me. He made himself real to me first. And then I just had to respond in kind. So he's talking about, the writer is talking about, I want to pursue him. I want to press into him. The one who pressed into me, the one who wanted me, I want to want him the way he wanted me. That reminds me of a situation that I was in several years ago. In this particular evening, man, we were having such an incredible time with the Lord and just worshiping and crying out to God, and the level of reverence was something that was very special. It wasn't your run of the mill, let's go to church, let's really, build up some emotion. And I'm not making fun of that, but it does happen. And you probably know that as well. No, this was a very special time that we were having together, the group of people that we were together with that particular evening. And I remember several of us ending up prostrate on the floor, on our face, man, face in the carpet, tears and everything, and just crying out to God, man. It was such a magnificent time. But man, this happened to me, and it was such a life-changing moment for me. I'm on the floor, I'm prostrate. I'm crying out to my Savior. I'm crying out to my God. I'm having this wonderful moment with the Lord. And in that moment, I heard the Lord whisper to my heart, "Why don't you want me better than you do?" And I couldn't believe it, because we're in this wonderful moment, man, and I'm thinking that I'm giving him my everything, and I'm giving him my all, but in that moment, he says to me, "Why don't you want me? Why don't you want me? Why don't you want me more? Why don't you want me more than you?" He was setting me up to pursue him in a greater dimension that I understood at that time. And so we've been on this journey with Jesus, but it's been like him being the big brother that he is, and we like to talk about walking with the Lord. But what happened to me that evening was I got a picture of Jesus being a step or two ahead of me, and me constantly being in pursuit of him. I hope that makes sense. And so that's why I want to encourage you guys today. We have to be in pursuit. I cried. Oh my goodness. I thought that I was already in this wonderful place, and the tears are flowing. But when I heard that echo in my heart, "Why don't you want me more than you do?" I was heartbroken, and I just repented before God. And just because sometimes, if we're not careful, we can pursue church. You guys know I'm telling you the truth. Sometimes we can pursue an experience in a church setting. Sometimes we think that the goosebumps that we experience in a church setting is actually pursuing Jesus. It's really not. It's really not, because there's many times when the true pursuit of him comes when your heart is broken, when things aren't going right, when you're looking around and trying to figure out maybe where your next meal is coming from, or maybe how you're going to meet a deadline, or how something is going to happen that's crucial to your everyday living and to your family. And you decide to look up. You decide to continue to pursue him. You decide to lift your hands and worship and praise him in the midst of trouble. That's when you step over into true pursuit. And the Lord said this to me one day, many years ago. He said, "You don't really start step over into obedience until you don't want to do the thing that I'm asking you to do, and you do it anyway. It's easy to do what God wants us to do or ask us to do when it's an easy thing to do and we're agreeable to it. But when he's asking us to do something and we say, oh my God, no, don't, please don't ask me to do this. I imagine this is what Abraham felt like when God said, give me your son, give me your only begotten son, give me the one that you love, give me the one that that brought laughter back into your household, give me him, I want him. And I can imagine Abraham's heart sinking for a moment and having to contemplate what that really meant, to give God what he wanted. But then Abraham decided, you know what? You gave him to me. I have no right to withhold him from you if you want him back. And so he makes the decision, and come to find out, God really didn't want Isaac. What he wanted was Abraham to know that he's 10 toes down, as they say sometimes. He wanted Abraham to know that he was absolutely, totally, and completely in pursuit of him and him only, and that he would withhold nothing from him, not even that which was the most precious thing to him. Can we say that about ourselves? Is that where you are? Is that where we are today? Can we say that with all confidence, that we're in a place with God, with Jesus Christ, that we can give him absolutely everything? Anything that he asks for, we're willing to give it? Because it's easy when it's something you don't want anymore. You know, one of the things that my wife and I have always practiced is never to give away something simply because we don't want it. We give away things that we actually still want. We give away things that are valuable to us. We don't just give away things that we just don't want anymore. And so I think it's a place to really understand, am I at a place, you should ask yourself this today, am I at a place in my relationship with God where if he asked me for the thing that's very valuable to me, can I give it? From my perspective and from my vantage point, there is no supernatural life without a passionate pursuit of Christ. I'm going to say that again. Sometimes we want a supernatural life. The Lord said to me many years ago, and I think I've said this many times over the years, and I think several times on the podcast, on our past podcasts, the Lord told me many years ago, he said, you know, people want to know my secrets. He said, but I don't yell secrets across the room. You must come closer. And if you come closer, according to the word of God, if you draw near to God, God will draw near to you. And so if you want to know more, you know, because revelation is not just you going and reading the Bible and coming up with some ideas about what you think it's actually saying. That is not revelation. Revelation, you can go and read the Bible. And this is why we have many people who have read the Bible and can probably quote the Bible from front cover to back cover, but don't really have a real relationship with Jesus Christ. And so we have to come to this place where we understand that revelation comes from intimacy. Revelation doesn't come from intellect. Revelation doesn't come from intelligence gathering. Revelation only comes from intimacy. And so the Lord said to me one day, he said, my people want to know my secrets. He said, but they want me to yell them across the room, and I won't yell secrets across the room. You must come closer. And so I say, there is no supernatural life without a passionate pursuit of Jesus Christ. It doesn't exist. It doesn't exist. And woe be done to anyone who is trying to work up something which is in their emotions and in their flesh and trying to call it supernatural. Woe be unto you. It's not a hard thing, and God hasn't just pointed out certain people. Yes, certain ones of us have callings on our life, what we might call calling, or have a specific assignment. But everybody can pursue Jesus, and everybody is supposed to pursue Jesus. And if you pursue Jesus, the Lord will come close to you and will begin to whisper things in your heart. And that's just the truth of it. Without you being an apostle or a prophet or evangelist or a pastor or a teacher or a bishop or whatever, if you pursue him, young dads on the job, taking care of, when you're taking care of the children, when you're doing housework or when you're outside doing yard work, whatever it is that you're doing, when you're driving down the road, it doesn't matter. If you have a heart that says, I will pursue you, Lord, then the Lord will respond to you in kind. Amen. And so I just wanted to share that today and encourage you to go after him, pursue him like you've never pursued him before. Let God break your heart. I know that sounds weird. I know that sounds strange, but if you're going to hang out with Jesus, let me see if I can go back. I want to read it one more time. I think it was let's go back to verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. We like that part, the power of the resurrection, right? But listen to the next part, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. That's powerful, man, but it has to be embraced by the believer. The fellowship of his sufferings has to be embraced by the believer, being conformed to his death. He didn't stay dead. So it's not hopeless. It's not a negative thing, but we have to come to the place where we're actually willing to die with him, that we might be resurrected with him, that we might live with him. In him we live and move and have our being. That's what the Bible says. How do we get there? We have to be willing to be to we have to be willing to come into a place of fellowship with his suffering. We have to be willing to come to a place of understanding that his death is my death and his life, therefore, is my life, man. And so I want to encourage you to pursue Jesus like you never have before. Pursue him with everything you got. You might say, well, what does that look like? I just told you. I just told you, set your heart and set your mind that I'm going to not allow anything, even anyone, to be more important to me than you. And anything that you show me, Lord, that I'm putting too much importance on, that I'm putting more value on that I put on you, I'm allowing you to show it to me so that I can make the decision to put that thing behind me and maybe even if it's necessary, get it out of my life totally and completely. That's what it looks like to pursue Jesus. It's not deep. It's not this heavy thing. It's just making a decision that I'm going to go after him with everything I got. Because here's the truth of it, he came after me with everything that he had. And God gave his absolute best that I might have a right to the tree of life and that I can live with him and live in victory and live in wholeness and live in peace. Not because the Republicans are in office or the Democrats are in office or this thing worked out in the natural or this local a government did this to help me out or whatever. No, because I belong to him. And in him I'll live, and in him I'll move, and in him I'll have my existence. And how much greater is that than anything that we can look at and point to, or maybe even look to in this earth realm? I want to thank you for listening to me today. I want to thank you. And you know, the next one, you'll see all of us, probably Troy and me, maybe even Miss Tisha will be on with us, whatever the next subject will be. But I don't want you to leave here without me saying it one more time. Pursue Jesus with everything you got. Amen. Amen. Thank you. And God bless you. And we look to see you again on Under the Fig Tree podcast.